Chapter 63, The Resurrection of Our Lord. I beheld the soul of our Lord between two angels who were in the attire of warriors. It was bright, luminous, and resplendent as the sun at midday. It penetrated the rock, touched the sacred body, passed into it, and the two were instantaneously united and became as one. I then saw the limbs move, and the body of our Lord, being reunited to his soul and to his divinity, rise and shake off the winding sheet. The whole of the cave was illuminated and lightsome. At the same moment I saw a frightful monster burst forth from the earth underneath the sepulchre. It had the tail of a serpent, and it raised its dragon head proudly, as if desirous of attacking Jesus, and had likewise, if I remember correctly, a human head. But our Lord held in his hand a white staff, to which was appended a large banner, and he placed his foot on the head of the dragon, and struck its tail three times with his staff, after which the monster disappeared. I had had this same vision many times before the resurrection, and I saw just such a monster appearing to endeavor to hide itself at the time of the conception of our Lord. It greatly resembled the serpent which tempted our first parents in paradise, only it was more horrible. I thought that this vision had reference to the prophetic words that by the seed of the woman the head of the serpent should be crushed, and that the whole was intended to demonstrate the victory of our Lord over death, for at the same moment that I saw him crush the head of the monster, the tomb likewise vanished from my sight. I then saw the glorified body of our Lord rise up, and it passed through the hard rock as easily as if the latter had been formed of some ductile substance. The earth shook, and an angel in the garb of a warrior descended from heaven with the speed of lightning, entered the tomb, lifted the stone, placed it on the right side, and seated himself upon it. At this tremendous sight, the soldiers fell to the ground and remained there apparently lifeless. When Cassius saw the bright light which illuminated the tomb, he approached the place where the sacred body had been placed, looked at and touched the linen clothes in which it had been wrapped, and left the sepulchre, intending to go and inform Pilate of all that had happened. However, he tarried a short time to watch the progress of events. For although he had felt the earthquake, seen the angel move the stone, and looked at the empty tomb, yet he had not seen Jesus. At the very moment in which the angel entered the sepulchre and the earth quaked, I saw our Lord appear to his Holy Mother on Calvary. His body was beautiful and lightsome, and its beauty was that of a celestial being. He was clothed in a large mantle, which at one moment looked dazzlingly white as it floated through the air, waving to and fro with every breath of the wind, and the next reflected a thousand brilliant colors as the sunbeams passed over it. His large open wounds shone brightly and could be seen from a great distance. The wounds in his hands were so large that a finger might be put into them without difficulty, and rays of light proceeded from them, diverging in the direction of his fingers. The souls of the patriarchs bowed down before the mother of our Savior, and Jesus spoke to her concerning his resurrection, telling her many things which I have forgotten. He showed her his wounds, and Mary prostrated to kiss his sacred feet, but he took her hand, raised her, and disappeared. When I was at some distance from the sepulchre, I saw fresh lights burning there, and I likewise beheld a large luminous spot in the sky immediately over Jerusalem. Chapter 66. The End of the Lenten Meditations. On the following Sunday, if I remember right, I saw the Jews washing and purifying the temple. They offered up expiatory sacrifices, cleared away the rubbish, and endeavored to conceal the effects of the earthquake by placing planks and carpets over the chasms and fissures made by it in the walls and on the pavement. And they recommenced the paschal solemnities which had been interrupted in the midst, declared that the disturbance had been caused by the presence of impure persons, and endeavored to explain away the apparition of the dead. They referred to a vision of Ezekiel, but how I can no longer remember. They threatened all who dared to say a syllable concerning the events which had taken place, or who presumed to murmur, with excommunication and other severe punishments. They succeeded in silencing some few hardened persons who, conscious of their own guilt, wished to banish the subject from their minds. But they made no impression on those whose hearts still retained some remains of virtue. They remained silent for a time, concealing their inward belief, but later, regaining courage, proclaimed their faith in Jesus loudly to the world. The high priests were much disconcerted when they perceived how rapidly the doctrines of Christ spread over the country. When Stephen was deacon, the whole of Ophel and the eastern side of Sion was too small to contain the numerous Christian communities, and a portion were obliged to take up their residence in the country between Jerusalem and Bethania. I saw Annas in such a state of frenzy as to act like one possessed. He was at last obliged to be confined, and never again to make his appearance in public. Caiaphas was outwardly less demonstrative, but he was inwardly devoured with such rage and extreme jealousy that his reason was affected. I saw Pilate on Easter Thursday. He was instituting a search for his wife in every part of the city, but his efforts for her recovery were fruitless. She was concealed in the house of Lazarus in Jerusalem. No one thought of looking there, as the house contained no other female, but Stephen carried food to her there and let her know all that was going on in the city. Stephen was first cousin to St. Paul. They were the sons of two brothers. On the day after the Sabbath, Simon of Cyrene went to the apostles and begged to be instructed and to receive baptism. The visions of Sister Emmerich, which had continued from the 18th of February to the 6th of April, 1823, here came to a conclusion.